one time. In case anyone noticed, I lost my voice. Father-in-law used to always say, I heard it from many times, that when someone says he lost his voice, that I don't envy the guy who finds it. He's such a bad singer. But okay, anyway, but I lost my voice. I also lost my hearing a little bit. I'm serious, I have an ear, it comes together, apparently I have something from a cold. I got a congestion, so I can't hear and I can't talk. So we'll do the best we can. What? Okay. Anyway, I have a very, very beautiful topic. Now, there's like five different reasons why I picked this topic. The topic revolves around Simcha. But there were five reasons. The most important reason is because the Musar Vod was supposed to be tomorrow night. And tomorrow night happens to be my mother's yard site. And I have an amazing story about my mother on Simcha, which I hold should be printed up in every Musar Sefer distributed all over America. I happen to be serious. I say, you say it, you say this. So how can I not say that story? On her yard site, and at mine today is not the yard site. We're supposed to be. The vod is supposed to be on the yard site. Because the vod is supposed to be on Tuesday. The second reason is because we're coming out of Purim. And Purim, whatever, there's a lot of connections to Simcha. The third reason is because we're learning Messias Yesharim. And Messias Yesharim, I'm learning with the guys, I'm pretty much up to everybody the part about how the Messias Yesharim proves that a person is not created for this world, because if Hashem created people for this world, he did such a crummy job, because nobody's happy in this world, except almost nobody. One out of 1,000, he says, is not happy. Okay, so then before, I heard from Rosh Hashiva that's Rav Pleshinsky, that he's talking about a person who's not into Ruchnius, because we do believe that Tzaddikim could be happy. But he basically says a rule that if people, an average person, cannot, you know, less than 1 out of 1,000 people are really happy. I told the guys in the Musar group that Rav Zuckerman, who was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, used to say over a mashal. It's a parable. I think he said it might not even be a Jewish mashal, but he liked it, so if he said it, I can say it. He was a very holy person. He was. Anyway, so he said that there was a king who got sick. And the doctor said that the only cure is you have to put on the shirt of a person who's really happy. Okay? So fine. So he knows his prime minister always walks around with a big smile on his face. So he calls in his prime minister, says, I need your shirt. And he said, prime minister says, thus happens. What? Said, because in order to be cured, I need the shirt of a person who's happy. So the prime minister says, I'll tell you the truth, I'm really not happy. It's just, you know, I put on a show because it's good for business. You know, people like to be around happy people, but I'm not really happy. Okay, fine. So he calls all his cabinet ministers and asks them for their shirt. They all tell the same thing. So he calls all the rich people in the country. They all tell him the same thing. So he sends out, you know, messengers all over the country. We gotta find a happy person. Can't find. Finally, there's one messenger. He's searching all over the country. He's on some top of some mountain in the wilderness, and he meets a guy, and he says, I'm looking for a person who's happy. Are you happy? He says, yes, I am so happy. Oh, great. He says, we need your shirt. I don't own a shirt. That was the story. Anyway, that was what's looking at his mashal. So people in the world are not always so happy. That's the Messias Yesharim. The Maisa, the Reshiva, I'm sure Rabbi Morgenstern will support. Rav Shiva used to quote Rav El Yisvei, that he asked Rav Chatzko, and Rav Shiva used to say it himself, that in Europe people were much happier than they are in America. And Americans are even less happy than in Europe. And a lot of people say that.
Sarno?
No, Rav Chatzko, let me see. That it was Mashkiach from Panovich. That he says Rav El Yisvei asked Rav Chatzko. Why? But that America in general, people are not happy. Rav Aaron says an amazing thing. I brought Rav Aaron here. He says, he doesn't exactly say it this way, but he basically says this. He says, what are the proof that people are not happy in America? He says, call Redivas HaTanugim. All the fact that people run after pleasures, ain't no edit a hafig as a atzvas, is because people are depressed. In other words, if you see someone who's an alcoholic, if you find a person who's on drugs, so why in the world did he get on alcoholic or drugs? So you understand that he's trying to forget something. I'm not talking like a one-time shot, which maybe is also a good kasha, but if he's doing it constantly, right? He knows he's ruining his life. So why in the world would a person become an alcoholic and destroy your life? Why would you become a drug addict? You know, there was a guy in the yeshiva years ago, I told this many times, but one of the guys in the yeshiva, I'm not suggesting to do this, but one of the guys in the yeshiva was big into Kiriv, so his project was to be Mikariv drug addicts. And he used to invite, I don't know how he met them, but he knew where to find them, and he used to invite them from drug addicts into the yeshiva. And he used to try and learn with them. That was his chesed. What? Here. What? I don't know. So it was years ago. So he told me that he asked one of these drug addicts, how do you envision your life in a year from now? What do you think your life's going to be like? And the guy said, I'll probably be dead. You know? So the person who's a drug addict and he thinks I'll probably be dead, so why are you doing it? So the pshat is because he's unhappy. So he's trying, it's a way, it's worth it for him to become a drug addict, to become an alcoholic, to get rid of the pain of the unhappiness. So Rav Aaron says a much bigger chiddush. I'll read it again. Kol redivas hatanugim. People go crazy, especially in America, after pleasures. They go, they kill, you know. Ain't no edad ahafig as atzvas. The drug addicts. Except instead of being the drug addict, the drug addicts is schmutz, and the drug addicts is food. It's an addiction, it's a way of distracting themselves from themselves, from their internal, they have problems. So if they spend all day going crazy into pleasures, then they forget reality. I heard this from a very big God on Eretz Yisrael. He said, why are sports so popular? It's because sports is a false reality. You can live in a different world, especially also computer games. You know, you can be a failure in life, but I'm the best in the computer game. You know, I won, I don't know what the game is, with these football games in the computer. Madden, I won, you know. I'm the greatest football player, right? Or I broke the record. But it's all an imagination world, because the real world is too painful for most people. Anyway, there is a problem. The people are not so happy, Bisman Hazeh. Apparently, it probably was not just Bisman Hazeh, but at least according to Rav Shiva, it's a much bigger problem today than before. So the shaita is, so what's the big deal? So they're not happy. Okay. What's so terrible? What does it have to do with Yiddishkeit? So I got the first Marimakom on the sheet. I didn't write who it's from. The truth is I don't remember who it's from. Because pshat is, I remember the quote, and I put it in the, and I couldn't find the sefer where I remember it from. I remember it from a sefer called Minchas. No, the Medrash Pinchas. But it's quoted in the Minchas Yehuda, quotes the Medrash Pinchas. But I couldn't find either sefer, and I'm quickly looking. So instead of looking around for the sfarim, which I can't find, because all my sfarim are all mixed up, so I just put the quote in the computer and let the computer find the quote for me. So, but I don't know which sefer this is from. I should have looked, I guess. It would be nice. So we'll read it. I'm going to have fun. It's in Yiddish, so I can show off my Yiddish. I don't know Yiddish, but okay. K'mamaro anekev, shel harebi Rav Henech me'Alexander, right? Gilgal Rosh Hashiva. Anyway. Huva b'sefer siach sarfei kodesh. And obviously this is a chassidish Rebbe. Atzis is nishkain aveira. Right? My Yiddish is good. Atzis is nishkain aveira. Anyone know what that means?
Atzis is aveira.
Oh, these guys are great. They know Yiddish. Aber.
What does it mean?
Atzis is not an aveira. If a person has atzis, he's not over an aveira. They're not going to, there is no pasuk in the Torah, thou shall not be atzis. Sad.
What about Tachas Yisrael?
I don't know. This is what he's saying.
Okay.
That's when you do. That's pashas when you do a mitzvah. But when you wake up in the morning and you're down, Ivdu Hashem is simply when you do mitzvahs. But this is not when you're doing mitzvahs. This is just my state of mind. So he's saying, Atzvahs Mishkin Avera. Zan Avera. Aber. What's Aber mean?
However.
What? However. Vlas Atzvahs. What's this word?
Bring
stew. Okay, now what do the guys who know Yiddish bring stew. Okay. Can Avera nish su bregen. Right, you got that?
Yeah.
No Avera can bring the results of Atzis. Atzis is not an Avera, but the negative results of Atzis is worse than every Avera in the sun. A person who has atzvahs, that's going to cause him to do more aveiras than anything else. A guy would be, I heard this from a big gadol, like someone's mezane. Okay, it's mezane, it's an aveira. But if he gets depressed about it, it's much worse. Because the depression brings more aveiras, worse aveiras. Simcha, I heard that from Rabbi Chait, by the way. Simcha, Rabbi Moshe Chait. Simcha is nishken mitzvah. Simcha is not a mitzvah. Aber was simcha brenzu? Ken kein mitzvah nish zu brengen. Right? You got that? Simcha is not a mitzvah. But the good part of simcha, what simcha brings, no mitzvah can bring. Now, for those who don't understand Yiddish, it happens to be translated. Okay, I couldn't resist. Okay. Okay, anyway, so what does that mean? It means that Atzvahs, now, of course, everyone who knows Rav Nachman Mibreslev disagrees with this. Rav Nachman Mibreslev said there is a mitzvah to be happy. I suspect it's a machloikas, that Rav Nachman Mibreslev says it's a mitzvah to be happy. Tumid means even when you're not doing a mitzvah. But this person held, it's also Chassidus Rebbe, that there's no mitzvah in the Torah to be happy, but the Maisa, happiness is it brings all the minus. And vice versa, being unhappy, especially in Atzis, which is, I guess, a stronger level, brings all the Averis. Now, that's the Hasidish. Now we got to go to the Litvish. Yeah. So we have a Ruach Chaim. Who wrote the Ruach Chaim? Rav Chaim Volozhin, right? Who was Rav Chaim Volozhin? The Talmud Muvik of the Gra. So there, it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that there are 48 things that are nicknames. And one of them is Simcha. So the Rav Chaim Volozhin explains why is Simcha a prerequisite for learning? Ki aloimei b'simcha, a person who learns when he's happy, b'shah achas, one shah, yomod yoser, Harbe, Yoser Harbe means, how much is Yoser Harbe? Yoser means more, probably double. Harbe means, so it has to be at least three times as much, right? Probably more. So Yoser Harbe, we match the Yilmud Kamishos, Batsas, which is probably another three times. So it means that he's basically saying that if a person, two people learning, one guy's learning and he's happy, and the other guy is not happy, he's atzvahs. The one, and they're both trying just as hard to learn, the same asmada, same pushing, the guy who's in a happy mood will learn approximately, if not more, 10 times as much, right? Because the math, you got the math, it says, Yaiser Harbe, we seem to be saying it means at least times three. Comma shows is also at least, it's not just two, it's comma. So it's at least three. So three times three is nine. So I made it 10. Okay. Anyway, right? Because it's probably more than three. Right? So you can learn at least 10 times. Isn't that an amazing thing? A guy comes along and says, complains to me, I'm Purim. I wish I had a better head. It's not fair. My head's not so good. So there's a simple solution. Be happier. If you be happier, your intellect would go up 10 times. That's what he says. You'll learn 10 times better. Well, assuming that the guy's a little bit unhappy. Okay.
What if the guy is happy?
Okay, then you got to take something else.
What's a husband? What's a husband?
Because your brain works better when you're happy.
Who said he's saying he's lost mother?
Maybe what?
Who said he's saying longer?
I can't hear you.
Who said he's saying he's lost mother on concentration?
He's talking about how much you succeed in the learning. Yomad Yoser Harbe. In 1 hour, you'll learn more than the other guy's learning in many hours. So the other guy is more asmada. The other guy's learning in common shows. You're only learning in one shah, but you're accomplishing more. What? Can't hear you. Not because you're less distracted. I don't think it's distracted because your brain works better. There's a rule that the brain, we talked about this many times, that the brain doesn't always get turned on. You have to turn your brain on. People don't, you know, and I quoted Rav Meir Chodesh many times. It's not the same topic, but I quoted it, so I'm quoting him, that a guy is sitting in the Rebbe gave Amar Malkum to do, and it's a Tosis, and a guy's working on the Tosis, and he comes up with a Kasha, and he's diligently sitting for hours to try and figure out the Kasha. He can't figure it out. While he's sitting there, another guy from the share comes over to him and says, hey, you're working on these marmakimis. I have a kasha for you. And he asks him the same kasha that he's been working on. I'm going to stump you. I have a kasha. Now he's been spending 5 hours. He couldn't get up shot. The Meir Chodesh says, in 1 second, without even thinking, what? You got stuck on that kasha? The answer is obvious. And he gives a good answer. Because there's more. His brain got turned on. Turned on there his brain because you're going to, I can't stand the fact that you're going to say you're better than me. But Simcha turns on your brain also. Anyway, let's go further. So the shayla is, now we got the question. The question is that these two svarim say that Simcha is the biggest prerequisite for success in ruchnias and success in learning. And atzis is the biggest deterrent. And Rashiva was made that Americans in general, I don't want to say they're depressed, but they're lacking in simcha. So how do we get more simcha? Right, that's the question. Okay. So now comes the famous story, which I think some of the guys might have heard already, but it's too bad. My parents, Alav Hashem, always wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. Even before they got married, they were very, you know, they were born in the, they lived in the generation of the fourth, you know, they were born in the 20s. They lived in the, so they lived through that generation and the Holocaust and the starting of the state. So they were very, it was, you know, there was, you know, if you weren't, it just makes sense. If you lived in that time, for sure, people become very idealistic. My parents were both very idealistic people. And even before they got married, my mother went somewhere to train to move to Eretz Yisrael. She went to some farm to work on a farm. She volunteered so she could know how to work on a farm when she gets to Israel, even before she got married. And my father also did some things, and they both dreamed of moving to Eretz Yisrael. And basically, all their friends moved to Eretz Yisrael. A lot of their friends. They used to always have their letters from their friends that moved to Eretz Yisrael. I know they had a letter of someone who got killed in 48 and moved to Eretz Yisrael with a friend, close friend of them. Anyway, but the Maisa, they never moved, or they didn't move. And at some point, the reason why they didn't move is because, you know, you have to, you know, they had kids, and they had a family, the Parnassa. And at one point, the decision was, okay, when their kids get married, they'll move. Now, of course, I was the youngest, and I was very uncooperative, because I got married at 28. So they couldn't move. But finally, someone wanted to marry me, and I got married at 28. And okay, now they can move. So they were, I think they were approximately 58, 59, I don't know exactly. And okay, they're moving to Israel. So they sold their house. My father retired his job and, you know, tried to get it, you know, they moved to Eretz Israel. About a month, maybe even less, after they moved to Eretz Israel, my mother discovered some kind of growth, and it was cancer, and they had to come back to America for a surgery, and it was terrible. They had nowhere to stay. They actually stayed in my teeny Kodo apartment, which was like a one-bedroom apartment, which was not, you know, they had nowhere to stay. And they stayed there while their mother got the surgery, and regretfully, the surgery didn't work, and they had to come back to America a second time for another surgery, and it just went on for a while. And but my mother never got better. She just kept on getting worse. And eventually, she was nifter. I think she was 64. And every year, she got progressively worse. So, you know, so at the Levaya for my mother was in Chofetz Chaim in Israel. I was a Rebbe there then. So my father said something that totally shocked me. It really is. He said that the last year of our lives together was our happiest years. So I was totally shocked because I knew what was going on. The last year, they basically knew my mother was dying. And not only was she dying, but she couldn't function. She was sick. Their body was stopped functioning. And basically, what I recall was the last year, I'm not a doctor, I can't explain it, but my mother was nauseous almost all day, except for 2 hours a day that she was not nauseous. There were 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon that she felt fine. And the rest of the day, she couldn't function, she was nauseous, whatever. Maybe different degrees of nauseous, but it was like 2 hours a day that she felt okay. What the logic of that is, I do not know. So I went over to my father. I said, what are you talking about? How could this be the happiest? You know the mommy was dying. You know that she's sick. She can't function. How can you say that's the happiest year of your life? You know, they happened to have Baruch Hashem. They had a very amazing marriage. So my father said, that's true. Because every year of our marriage, we were always very, very busy. And we always put everything off. We're going to go to Israel when the kids get married. We're going to go this, we're going to do that. He says, when the doctors basically told us that there's no hope and my mother's going to die within a year, so they said, that's it. So we got to be happy now, because if we're not happy now, we'll never be happy later. So we made up our minds to be happy. So we worked on being happy. So we were happy. So he says the last year of their lives, with the knowledge that my mother was going to dying, and with all the sickness, it was in reality the happiest years, because they decided they're going to be happy. It's a gewaltig woord. I hope you got it. The woord is, if you want to be happy, you can be happy. Okay? It's really it's a decision. I mean, of course, everyone wants to be happy, but you know, you have to make an effort. But if you want to be happy, you can be happy. The Maisa, I found someone who actually says this in a Sefer. There's a Sefer HaMishoim. Sefer HaMishoim is written by a Risham. It was basically, the yeshiva went to Sfas in Israel, and we went into some shul, and what I always do whenever we go into shul is I look at the Sfarim, and they had this Sefer called Sefer HaMishoim. It's written by a Mekubo. But he was a Risha Mikubo. I don't know, the Share, I forgot what he was called, the Share Ora, I think. Anyway, he says as follows. Let's read the Sefer. Lama Asimcha Bechelk, Asameh Bechelk, Domeh Neshemen. A person who's happy with what he has is called Domeh to oil. Pirish. Kimo Shem Temonai Kligo Domeh Amayim. You can fill up a cup with water, O Shar Mashim, or any other liquid. V'tosim bo mat shemen. And you put a little bit of oil on top. Hashemen amuet shabo odem isof the mitem. The oil floats on top. It's an amazing thing. I did this once for one of my kids' science projects. Don't tell everyone that I did it for them, but okay. But the science project, that oil does not mix with water. Right? It doesn't mix. It floats. So the oil floats on top. So if you look at the kli from the top, you'll think the whole cup is full of oil because the whole cover, top, is covered with oil. If you look from the bottom, you'll think the whole thing is water. If you look from the side, you might think it's all water. You'll see the two difference. But if you look from the top, you'll think it's all oil. Kach tzmeh b'chelko. Av al pisha beis o'reikam. Even though your house is empty, you have no parnasa. V'mole kama tirdos v'srichem. You have all kinds of problems. Kishum aviyach mad. When he makes a little money, he's very happy. When he's satisfied. And his joy is on his face. As if he's the richest guy in the world. Like the oil on the keli. Right? In other words, the water is like tzaras. The oil is good things. If you have a little bit of simcha in your life, so ipshat is, the rule is, that hot water and cold water can mix. But simcha and tzar don't mix. It's an interesting phenomenon. Just like oil and water don't mix. I remember my mother was nifter, you know, chavtau and other, which was a week, basically 10 days after Purim. I was a rebbe in the yeshiva, so I felt I had to become to the yeshiva Purim. So they had a Purim play. So I was I laughed at the jokes and then felt terrible that I'm laughing, knowing that my mother is in the hospital dying. But it didn't stop me from laughing because somehow the simcha and they don't mix. And that's what he's saying here. You can they don't. So when you have simcha, the guy and tzaras, you feel the simcha and you feel the tzaras. So now it's your choice which one you want to focus on. Because if they don't mix, so now it's only up to you. What are you focusing on? If you focus on the simcha, you'll see the simcha. See, if they would mix hot water and cold water, they mix. So the simcha is batel, because it got batel in all the tzaras. But since it floats on top, so it doesn't mix, so you have the choice to focus on the simcha. It's a din, in you know, there's, since it's there and the simcha is real and it doesn't get batel, then it all depends on what you focus. Rabbi Yisrael speaks a lot about this too, that a lot of things in Musar is what you focus on. You know, it's not a question of reality as much as says Moshe was ana mikol adam. Rabbi Yisrael asked Akasha, how could Moshe be ana mikol adam? Didn't he know that he's better than everyone else? So he said, because he focused on the one point that everyone was better than him. What was that one point maybe that he had, that Hashem expected less from them or whatever? So it depends what you put your focus. So he's saying that a Sameach Bechelko puts his focus on the happiness. So this is really, I really think this is a big insight, that if you want to be happy, you can have all the tzaras in the world and you can still be happy. And in Maisa, you know, if you know people, you will meet people that have tremendous tzaras and they're very happy. And you'll meet people that have very little tzaras and they're walking around depressed. And it makes sense because it depends what they're focusing on. This guy's focusing on his problem, and that's it's all he thinks about all day long. And this other guy, he works on focusing on his and what he's happy about. So if you focus on what you're happy, you'll be happy. Okay, anyway, that's the basic insight. Okay, the Maisa. Okay, that's really the basic insight. But I got a few other marmikimes here, so I got to, notwithstanding, this is a basic insight. What time we got? My voice is running out. Okay, still can go. Okay. There are There are some other tricks, which are not as good, but they're tricks. Sometimes you need to jump start, right? Like a Breslov, you know, you do a dance on a car. So we don't really hold to that because we don't really think that that's really real simcha. But a little bit, to give you a little, like we do believe. Here, I'll jump. Look at this amazing medrash. It's amazing medrash. And I got to come back to the medrash says, "Vayochal Boaz vayesh vayitav libo." This is when he went to his, you know, he went to the I don't know what it's called. The where did he go? He went to the where the what wheat was stored. What? Okay, the granary, and that's when Ruth came and met him there at night, without his knowledge. So Boaz went there, and he was very happy, and he went to sleep, and the threshing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Lama vayitav libo? Why was he so happy?" So first, Rashi sheberech al mezaino. In other words, what the Marzu says, that not just he made a bracha, but he stopped to realize that everything is coming from Hashem. So that made him happy. Because the bracha means the brachas make one happy. If you really know what you're saying, then you realize that thank you Hashem for giving me this. So that makes you happy. Okay. Davar acher, a second shot. I want the second shot. Vayetev libo sha'ochal mine mesika. Anyone know what that means?
He ate sweet things.
Cake break. Acher amazon. After the food. Shehi margenes lashon haTorah. Because it helps you learn. Is that amazing? Right? We're talking about Boaz. He's a Navi. He finishes eating, and he wants to learn. So what does he do? He eats dessert.
Dessert on Shabbos?
Yeah. Whatever. He eats dessert because that's going to help him learn better. You're a Navi. You need to be helped. It's not like he was depressed. There's nothing depressing him, you know. But it'll make you a little happier. It'll cheer you, give you a little gut, you know. So the pshat is, even everybody needs a little sometime, like a spark plug, to give you a little energy. So Boaz, I don't think he was depressed at all, but he ate a little piece of cake, or he drank a soda, I don't know exactly what it is, maybe he named it Zika, or candy, I don't know. He ate something sweet, and that helped him learn. The Chazon Ish quotes this, in giving advice, parent advice, that you want your kids to learn, you should give them a mini matito. But anyway, that's an amazing thing. So that means that everybody, sometimes you need a little jump start. You know, I think if you're really not happy, the jump start won't help because you're basically not happy. But if you're basically happy, you're just not in the right mood. So you eat a piece of cake, you have the cake break. I hope cake break is gewaldic, and it gives you a little pep and energy, and then you come back to Seder, and you're in this happy mood, especially if they bake some, right, if they bake some special cake at the cake break. Oh, okay. Oh. They served ice cream. Oh, all right. Okay. What else do we have here? We have here this Sfida Tzaddik. Who's the Sfida Tzaddik? Someone know? No. In Aachen. Rav Michal Zvi Shapira. Rav Michal Zvi Shapira was a famous tzaddik in Yerushalayim in the 1800s. Anyway, he was Rav Karlap's Rebbe, if that helps anyone. Karlap. Rav Karlap was the first Rav of Shari Chesed.
This was the
Tower
of
Kof? Rav Karlap later is very... Rav Shapiro was a real kanoi, And Rav Kanap was a Talmud of him, and then he switched and became a Talmud of Rav Kook. And, okay, it's Kasha, a Maisa, and I don't know exactly, but I think he was a Talmud of both, which apparently you can do that. So, and actually, Rav Kanap wrote the Sefer of his Rebbe, Rav Shapiro's, this is who he wrote, Rav Kanap wrote it. And at the same time, right, Rav Kanap was a Rosh Hashiva, a Rav Kook's Yeshiva. So, okay. Anyway, he says, it's the second line. I'm losing it. Shamati Alecha Nigidere Atzadikim Zikronin of Racha. I heard about a tzaddik, Shoya Bori Vachosik Ma'id. He was very strong. Ki'idu Eyod. What? Where am I? The second line. I skipped the first line. Now I'm up to the third line. he looked at him, and you thought he ate all the delicacies of the king. He was so happy and energy and just healthy. Even though he lived a very poor, unhappy life. How can you be walking on such a big simcha and so energized and so, you know, motivated when your life is so terrible? For Omar, Shizeno Bolo Miroiva Simcha, that because he gets so much happiness. Right? Every morning he wakes up and he makes a bracha, Shano Asani Goy, and that's his Wheaties. Right? It's an energy. It's, wow. It's such an amazing bracha. There are meisim from Gedolim that they say this in the concentration camp. They were able to be happy because they made the bracha Shalom Asani Goy. I think I said this. They said our Baruch Bir said that also. He wasn't in the concentration camp, but he was in a pregram, and they basically beat him up, and they even took all his clothes, and they left him basically nothing, and they beat up his family, his kids. And when he finished, he says, now I have to make the bracha shalom asani goy with more simcha, because I could have been like those bums, and I'm not. You know? So he said, that the bracha of shalom asani goy can give a person so much simcha. So just that alone, in other words, you know, you were talking about that you could focus on what makes you happy, so then you could be happy. So obviously, if you have things that make you happy, so that's that should work. But let's say a guy's in a concentration camp. So there's nothing to make him happy. So what's to make him happy is Shalom Asani Goy. That's what this person said. So he focused on that. He became tremendously happy. Okay. Let me do my last Mayim Makom, and then I'll let you people go. It says in the by Haman. And Haman went ahead and he saw Mordechai not bowing. So what did he do? Someone help me. Yeah, so what did he do? He called his wife. He went home and he called his wife and Ohava. And he told them this speech. So why did he do that? So the parish, Lekav Toiv, the Gros says very similar, says because he was afraid he's getting depressed. He felt himself getting depressed. He saw Mordechai, and Mordechai got him so sad. And he doesn't want to get depressed. So first of all, he wants to go home. His home, which cheers him up. Then he wants to see his wife, Ohavav. If you're around, surrounded by people who you like, cheers you up. And then he wanted to tell them everything he has. So he told them about his kids and his... Because that also cheers you up when you talk about everything you have, when you focus. So this is a little bit the same idea, that except Haman couldn't focus on Shalom Asani Goy. So he had a focus on Rov Oshra V'Kinyanov. But the idea is when you're very depressed or down, so the trick is you have to find something good and focus on it. So Haman focused on his wealth, his banav, and he focused on it. He told it. He spoke about it. And the idea was that that would get him out of his unhappiness. This person focused on Shlomo Hasani Goy. Okay? The Maisa, I think we hold that Shlomo Hasani Goy works better because Rov Ashra, the Kinyanav, are not you. They're not really you. You know, you can't take it with you. And it's not, you're not your car. Notwithstanding the advertisements.
What about also like Makachavrim?
Yeah, but Lo Asani Goy apparently did more to him. Apparently. That meant the foot. Because Pekeh Abram just means that I can
the
see.
Guy beat him up. I mean, let's say for a second someone else would have one in his eyes and he saw maybe what he said Pekeh.
Yeah, but this apparently did more. Because this was a Ruchniistika minor. The Pekeh Abram is just a physical minor. And the Ruchniist minor was more meaningful to him. Okay, anyway, so the point is, just to summarize, I think I don't have a voice anymore. No share tomorrow.
What?
Okay, anyway, I'm looking at the bright side. So the Maisa. The Maisa said this, that the most, what you see from the Svarim, that the most important thing is to be happy. I know the Rishiva was very, very big on happiness. But I think, I don't know, I think that was one of the most important hashkofas of the Yeshiva, besides the Derech of learning, obviously, and the Derech of Musar, was that you have to be happy. Shiva told a story that Rav David, when he was in Torah V'das, there was a group of Hasidim that was like in Torah V'das, who were like the frumest people in America. And they were called the Malachim. There was a Hasidish sect called the Malachim, and it was run by the Malach. But okay. But they were the ones who brought Chod of Yisrael, Rabbi Weberman. Anyone here know Rabbi Weberman from the beach? Yeah, so he told me that his brother his parents belonged to the Malachim. And he told me with quite pride that his brother was thrown out of Torah V'das because he insisted on wearing his tzitzis over his shirt. And the Noah were upset that it's causing people, they won't come to the yeshiva. And he said, no, he has to wear the tzitzis out. I mean, the whole beggar. So they threw him out. He was very proud of that. Anyway, so the Malachim were very stark. And apparently, Rav David used to have a lot of debates with the Malachim when he was Rishiva in Torah V'das. So Rishiva once said that Rav David told the Malachim, he says, I don't really know what you're doing wrong, because it looks very good. You have Yiras Shamayim and Chumrah. But I know for sure you're doing something wrong, because you're not happy. If you keep Torah, you have to be happy. It's a siman, a siva, whatever it is. And I don't see you people being happy, so you can't be that your Ashkaf is right. Anyway, that was Rishiva, a big Ashkaf by Rishiva, that you have to be happy. And that's what the Rav Chaim Volozhin says. And that's what Rav Nachman Mibreslov says. Right? The question is, just an Eivet HaShaina, is there a machloikas between Rav Nachman Mibreslov and Rav Henoch Mealexander? Is there a mitzvah to be happy? I don't know. Sounds like there's a machloikas.
Why can't
pleasures can jumpstart you, but they can't because they're not deep.
Why can't you just keep doing this?
Because it doesn't work that way. Because you know that it's superficial and it's fake. It's not. It doesn't really. It's like a guy drinking. A guy. And not just he gets used to it. It's just a chocolate bar. You know that that's not. It's depressing that your whole life is a pleasure. I give the mushroom. I said this mushroom many times. I said that I go to the basic forest. There's a basic forest that the yeshiva uses very often in New York, and I pass the same kever, and it says on the kever, he was the ultimate sports fan. He never missed a game. Right? So I can't believe that he was happy with that yichus. Because if that's your biggest accomplishment in life, you know, Rabbi Yachlitz always said, what are they going to say at your funeral? Said, what was he going to say at your funeral? He danced at every discotheque. He ate ice cream all day long. He drank to, you know, himself to sleep every night. You know, they can't make you happy because deep down you know that that's meaningless. So it gets you depressed. If you're just using it to jumpstart you, but that's not what's making you happy, then I really have to stop. I think. Okay, Shikrayach, everyone.
Rebbe Breslin, which one was that again?
No, Breslin's not here.
So what would you be saying that Rebbe's name?
Breslin says the mitzvah gedolah of male is simcha tamid. He says there's no mitzvah to be simcha tamid.
Thank you, Rebbe.